Red Eye is a program of alternative politics and culture which broadcasts live from 9 until noon every Saturday morning on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM and around the world at cooperadio.org. Here's Chris Spanos.
Despite the massive devastation caused by the seaquake tsunami that swept through Aceh, Indonesian military rule still stands. John Rosa is an assistant professor at UBC and specialist in Indonesian history. He wrote an article earlier this month titled Aceh's Dual Disasters, the Tsunami and Military Rule. John Rosa joins me this morning, today. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. One day before Aceh was leveled by the seaquake, the Indonesian military announced it had killed 18 guerrillas. What was happening in Aceh before the tsunami disaster?
Aceh was the site of a military occupation. The Indonesian military had been occupying Aceh since May 2003 under martial law. But in a sense, the Indonesian military has been keeping Aceh under an occupation since 1990. So over the past 14, 15 years, Aceh has been living with Indonesian soldiers patrolling through the villages. Checkpoints have been set up on the roads. So the presence of the Indonesian military is ubiquitous, and the killing has been pretty much constant, year after year, week after week. So the conflict between Aceh and Indonesia begins, well, in a sense, in the late 1970s, although the conflict at that time was of a very minor scale. There was a small group that emerged that demanded independence for Aceh. It was not all that popular, and it was defeated without a great loss of life. However, when that same insurgency renewed in the late 1980s, the Indonesian military responded with excessive force. And that is the beginning of the alienation of the Acehnese from Indonesia. The Acehnese themselves, although they have a very proud history as Acehnese, having their own identity, their own language, they were as much part of Indonesia as any other ethnicity. There were some grievances, but the demand for independence was not all that strong. The demand for independence really comes in response to the Indonesian military occupation, the atrocities, the tortures, the mass killings, the massacres during the 1990s.
I want to talk about independence a little later on, but first, could you tell me how the tsunami disaster has now impacted the role of the Indonesian military in Aceh now?
Mm-hmm. Well, the tsunami claimed as many as 150,000 lives. This is one of the largest natural disasters in history. And so you would think that this was it would change everything in Aceh. 150,000 people. There's about 4 million people in Aceh. It's a province on the northern tip of the island of Sumatra. It was very close to where the earthquake occurred offshore. So the tsunami hit Aceh first and leveled much of the many of the towns and villages all the way, about 10, 15 miles inland. So you would think that this would have a tremendous impact on the society, and it has. There are now hundreds of thousands of displaced people. However, the Indonesian military itself was not badly affected. The number of military personnel who were killed in the tsunami is not all that clear. The military has given different figures, but it's in the hundreds. There are about 45,000 security personnel in Aceh now. So most of those survived. many of the guerrillas, too, who were in the forests and the fighting for independence, are intact as well. They were not badly affected by the tsunami, in any direct way. So this conflict still exists. There are still thousands of people in Aceh with guns. And just a couple days ago, the chief of staff of the Indonesian army claimed that the army had killed 120 guerrillas of the pro-independence group over the past 2 weeks. So post-tsunami, the Indonesian military is still engaging in military operations against these pro-independence guerrillas. So this war is continuing, and the important question now is how to get a ceasefire so that this war doesn't interfere with the aid, so that the Achenese who have suffered from the tsunami will be able to receive relief aid and will be able to rebuild their communities.
A couple of phrases that we hear repeated from the Indonesian military as well as in Western media are rebels and the GAM gum. As well as civil war. Can you give us some context for these phrases and what they mean?
GAM means Gerakan Aceh Merdeka, meaning the Free Aceh Movement, and it has been active, particularly since the late 1980s in Aceh, and it has become much more popular over the 1990s, as people turned to GAM in response to the military atrocities. The Indonesian military, in order to defeat GAM, waged a counterinsurgency war. And that meant that they were trying to intimidate the civilian population so that the civilians would not support GAM. In the process, they increased that GAM's popularity. That said, there's still a lot of Achenese who feel trapped in between, who are not supportive of GAM or the Indonesian military. And there are many Achenese who have fled, who have just gotten out because they could not stand the warfare, the constant stress and hassles of that. So the Indonesian military, once Suharto fell, allowed for a reformist pause. That is, they were... they even issued an apology for the violence they had committed from 1990 to 1998. But quickly the war continued as before. And so the climax came in May 2003 when the military resumed full-scale military operations against GAM. And so they barred foreigners from entering Aceh from May 2003. They severely limited what news came out. Foreign journalists were not welcome, were usually not given permission to go to Aceh. So we had very little news of Aceh, and what news we had was just from the military. And the military claimed that it killed over 3,000 guerrillas. However, most of those are civilians, and most Indonesian human rights activists and observers, journalists, realize that the military's claims cannot be verified and are probably not true, that most of these deaths have been of civilians. And so this is what's fueling the Achenese anger. By now, many Achenese really just want the war to end somehow or another. They just want peace. There's still shooting going on around refugee camps. So added to the stress of dealing with the tsunami, of having your house destroyed, families separated, relatives dead, they have to deal with the continued fighting.
How has all this impacted aid distribution?
Well, it's impacted aid distribution negatively, of course. There is still aid reaching the displaced. There's still aid reaching the Achenese who were affected by the tsunami. Fortunately, and to its credit, the Indonesian military and the government have allowed foreigners into Aceh and have allowed many foreign aid operations to work in Aceh. And they have not told the aid agencies, you know, that they cannot deliver the aid. However, they keep placing limits, restrictions, saying that, for instance, the aid agencies need to get a military escort, that they cannot go to certain areas without an escort. And the military is also giving the aid agencies some hassles. So the aid is reaching the displaced, reaching the Achenese. However, it's not as much as it could be. And over the long term, there's no guarantee that this aid will be able to continue. If the fighting gets worse, it might get cut off altogether. This is going to be a long-term process of reconstruction. It's going to take many years. So we really have to think about, you know, how to create a peaceful situation.
I understand that part of the problem is that the Indonesian military doesn't pay the Indonesian soldiers, or they pay them to a degree, but then the soldiers are left to make up their own wages to the rest of the extent. How does this impact aid distribution?
Yeah. In the early days, right after the tsunami, where the military played a much larger role in relief aid, the military was not doing a very good job of distributing the aid. There are some reports that the Indonesian military is selling the aid that it gets. I don't think that's a big issue, because a lot of the aid is coming through international agencies, and even if the military is being used by the Indonesian government as the distributor of its aid. The real worry here, apart from this issue of the soldiers trying to make a profit from the aid or being corrupt, that's a minor issue compared to another issue, which is that the Indonesian military is setting up, its plan is to build barracks, relief camps, and these barracks would house tens of thousands of these displaced people. Many of the Achenese are very wary about moving into such a camp because it would be under the military's control. So the military is looking at these things as strategic hamlets.
I was going to ask how the Indonesian military, how they might politically use the tsunami disaster.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the Indonesian military is taking advantage of the disaster to pursue its war even more aggressively against GUM, against the Free Aceh movement, instead of agreeing to a ceasefire. The Indonesian military is pursuing the war even more than, just the same as it had before the tsunami. And is using the particular circumstances of the tsunami to isolate the civilian population from the guerrillas. The plan is that these relief camps set up with sort of makeshift housing, barracks made out of wood, that these would be under the control of the military, so the military could control a large portion of the civilian population and monitor who's coming in and out. And the Achenese, while many of them are desperate and would be relieved to have a place to stay, all of them are very wary about being under the military's control. And there is at least one foreign aid agency that I know of that's been reported in the papers as helping the Indonesian military build these barracks, and that's World Vision. And this is, I think, a very dangerous form of aid, because this helps the Indonesian military in gaining greater control over the civilian population. Many Achenese, from what I've heard from Achenese is that they would rather rebuild their own communities. They would rather get money and get aid so that they can build their houses again, so they can clean the streets, get the streets cleared, and start up their businesses again.
How is all this affected Acheanese attitudes towards independence?
It's hard to say at the moment. The Indonesian government was hoping that it would force the Acheanese to become more loyal to Indonesia, that the Acheanese would see Indonesians coming to help, that the Indonesian government was helping them recover from the disaster. So the Indonesian government has hopes that it will result in the decline of pro-independence sentiment. It's hard to say at the moment, but given what the military has been doing already just in the month since the disaster, it doesn't look like the Acheanese are going to feel any more grateful to Indonesia, given that the military is continuing the war. It's not... It seems the Indonesian military seems to be opposed to a ceasefire, and seems to be using the military is using the aid in order to further the war.
Well, I wish we had more time to. There's so much to talk about, and we'll hopefully be able to invite you back in the future.
Okay, great.
So thanks a lot for coming down.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I've been speaking with John Rosa. John is an assistant professor at UBC and specialist in Indonesian history. His article, Aceh's Dual Disasters, the Tsunami and Military Rule, can be found at indonesiaalert.org.
You've been listening to Red Eye, a program produced by an alternative media collective in Vancouver, Canada. Red Eye broadcasts live every Saturday morning from 9 until noon and can be heard around the world at cooperadio.org.